This is the Ask Amberlee Show. Welcome to the Ask Amberlee Show. This episode is brought to you by Manicure Magazine, my health and lifestyle magazine. It's $14.99 every quarter or $59 for the year. You can subscribe online at www.manicuremagazine.com. And then the other sponsor is my new supplement. It's the Manicure Multivitamin Cocktail. There's no alcohol in this, although you can mix it with alcohol if you want to. It's a great hangover cure. It's got B vitamins, amino acids, minerals, all kinds of things. So go to www.manicuremagazine.com/supplement and get this delivered to your door. All right. With that,
I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thanks. You couldn't wait for me to introduce you.
Drum roll.
Oh, my God. Have you been waiting for this forever?
No.
Okay.
You know.
Well.
Okay. You go.
My guest is. I can't even take this seriously.
We should not take this seriously.
I know. Tamika Lee, everyone. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
My best friend.
This is weird.
It is?
Yeah. It's just, I know. You know, because it's like, we just, you know, we're usually on the phone or texting or whatever. And like, it's just like, now here we are. So it's just like,
I know.
Here we are.
Well, it is interesting because I have never interviewed you before. You've been on my podcast, but that was when
I interviewed you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a change of pace.
It's a lie. We've done a podcast together, but we were on the beach
one time. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
But we're a little inebriated. And then there was another time somewhere, somehow. I don't know.
We've gotten around. Yeah. Well, now I'm officially interviewing you.
Got it.
So welcome to the show.
Thanks.
I'm excited to have you.
Okay. This is very awkward for me, but okay.
I know. It's going to be great.
I just like landed a plane. I'm like, okay, let's go. What you got,
Anne? All right. So this is going to be interesting because I think everyone sees you in a certain way and I get to see a different side of you. Mm-hmm. And I want to showcase that side a little bit more to people because, you know, everyone always asks, how are y'all friends? Mm-hmm. Because we are so opposite in so many ways. And we are. Mm-hmm. But then there's a side that I think people don't see that is vulnerable and soft and sweet and all those things. So I want to get to that a little bit and share your story because I think your story is so poignant is the word for people. it's a good word. I didn't say moist.
Yeah. we have a thing with words, but okay.
Yeah.
It's pertin.
Yep. Okay. So I want to go back to you have been a Saint Satian. Mm-hmm. You've coached for the Saint Satians. Mm-hmm. You have done reality TV. You've done Fear Factor. You've done Southern Charm New Orleans on Bravo TV. Mm-hmm. You've been a traffic anchor, a news anchor. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the things out there, right?
Yeah.
And I want to know why. No.
And a mom. And a wife. It's like, it's all the things. And I started a nonprofit with my brother.
Yes.
Son of a saint.
Son of a saint. Yes.
So it's been a journey.
Well, I want to go back to before you got there.
Oh.
So like, because some people don't even know, like I've talked to people before, even in New Orleans, and people don't correlate you with your dad, Vivian Lee, who was a Saints player for the NFL in New Orleans. And then people also don't know the story of what happened to him, you know, and that you witnessed it in front of everyone or in front of your family. But
me and Sonny. Yeah.
Yeah. You and Sonny. Right.
I was like a week before my sixth birthday and then Sonny had just turned four. So we're 2 years apart in 1984. Mm-hmm. And, woke up to what I thought was patty cake because, like, I thought my mom and dad were playing patty cake.
Oh, my God.
Because I heard, like that. And that, you know, that's what you think.
Yeah,
you think,
like,
they're playing patty cake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, how old were you?
It was, like, a week before my sixth birthday. So this is November 12th, 1984.
Okay. Oh, God. Okay.
Like, 10 days before my birthday. And I woke up and I looked over the railing. It was a two-story house. We had just moved in there. We just moved back from Denver. Mm-hmm. So my dad he started with the Saints, got drafted with Archie Manning that year in 71. Went to the Rams, went to the Broncos, and then we were back in New Orleans for, I guess it's like final season.
Mm-hmm.
And so he started taking Herbalife mm-hmm. November 1st. And then by November 12th, he had a heart attack, massive heart attack, middle of the night. I looked over the railing and I see my dad like pounding on like what he was doing was pounding on the sofa. He had like passed out and his eyes are like piercing at me. And I'm like, oh my God, this. And I knew immediately like something's wrong.
Yeah.
So I wake up my brother because we had like Jack and Jill mm-hmm. Rooms and I just knew how to protect him. So I like woke him up and put him behind me. And I'm mm-hmm. like, we have to go downstairs. Mm-hmm. But the stairs to my mom's and dad's room, like the parents' room, was had to go past the couch. Like had to walk past him. Mm-hmm. So like the whole time I'm walking down the stairs, I'm like watching him and he's just like staring at me. And we like locked eyes. And he's like not breathing, but like trying to breathe. And was just like, I remember that, all that. Mm-hmm. But I remember hiding my brother behind me.
Yeah.
So he's like, what's going on with dad? I'm like, oh, he's trying to be a tiger and he's trying to scare us. So just let's go in mom's room, mm-hmm. like the room. And then I went in the room and mom is like changing into, I remember, a purple sweater. And she's like manic. And my mom is very calm. She's mm-hmm. not like me. She is very calm. And she's manic. And she was getting the bed. And like, I got it. And then I heard ambulance. And she just wouldn't let me walk out the room. Anyway, he ended up dying right after I got in the room, apparently. That's he died in the house of a heart attack. And that's when everything changed.
Yeah. Everything changed after that.
Like, they came home and they said, Dad didn't make it. Mm-hmm. He had a heart attack and died. And I'm like, all right, like, you know, like, do I get a snack? Like, I didn't even, like, couldn't even, like, connect all of it. Mm-hmm. For weeks after, I still made table, like, for settings at dinner for four people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I didn't. And I was like, Mom, how do we call Dad? Like, where is he? Like, she's like, he's in heaven. I'm like, but, like, what's the number to heaven? Like,
yeah,
I didn't
get
it.
Right.
How tragic is that?
It is.
Right. It's like, no, it's like, it's funny, but it's like, it's so sad.
It is
it's
tragic.
So sad.
Yeah, it is.
So that's like my first memory of my mother, actually. I have no memory of my mother before heart attack, funeral, and that. Like, that's my first memory of my mom. Mm-hmm. I remember my dad. I have 20 stories of him in my head, but like my mom is like just manic.
And interesting. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that part of the story.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you had news crews on your phone.
Yeah, and then like the next week, not even the next week, the next 2 days, we had like 2020 was on our doorsteps. Barbara Walters is in our house. You know, WWL is in our house. Mm-hmm. I think Eric Paulson remembered the whole story. I remember when I started working at Channel 4 mm-hmm. in 2012. He was like, I remember your dad's story. So I think the city, if you were back in New Orleans and kind of like mid-adulting life, you remember the story of my dad.
Yeah,
the younger generation doesn't remember the story, obviously, mm-hmm. but the story was so important, like that he died and it was a big news story. So
yeah,
a lot of people knew the name Vivian Lee mm-hmm. Lee Saints.
Yeah.
And then in 2001 I auditioned for Sensations and then was a Sensation for 4 years, and then my brother was Tom Benson's chief aide, like his right hand man.
That's right.
In between the time I had left, mm-hmm. they go win a Super Bowl without me. Anyway, and then I went back to coach in 2011 till 2019. Yeah, that was my like Saints career, my Saints life. Mm-hmm. That was one of many hats I have because I have 16 hats I wear.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like the Saints story.
So mm-hmm. were you drawn to becoming a Sensation in particular because of your dad?
No. Well, like I remember being eight and vividly remember being eight and saying two things to my mom. I said, I'm going to own the Sensations one day. Like, I thought that was a thing. And what I meant by which I'm forecasting and manifesting, which was coaching them, which I did. Mm-hmm. And then I said, I'm going to be on TV. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sit next to Sally Ann.
Sally Ann Roberts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I did.
So good.
And I did. I sat next to Sally Ann Roberts and I said I was going to be on TV and I said I was going to own the Sensations. And I ended mm-hmm. up doing, well, I didn't own the Saints, but I mean, I coached them. So
yeah.
And this at eight, I was mm-hmm. like, that's what I'm going to do. I thought that was like life's goals. Like, that was it.
You still think those are life goals?
No, like I hit those at 34. I was like, well, now what do I do? Right. Life stops at there. I peaked at 34. No, I'm kidding.
So funny.
I wish. No, but that was the goal of my life and like mm-hmm. however that happened. So I didn't even take dance lessons. I think I was in dance class for like 2 years. And just because my mom was a single mom and had two kids this under whatever, and mm-hmm. she just was trying to manage it all.
Yeah.
I just tried for my dance team in high school and I would end up being really good. Mm-hmm. And I ended up working for American All-Star and like traveled the world and like did everything. I taught dance to everybody. I was I went to Paris, Rome, London. I've done like 9 Super Bowls. I've done all of it.
You danced with James Brown.
I danced with James Brown and Beyonce and like Tina Jackson, Tina Turner, like everyone. So the Blues Brothers, ZZ Top. I was the girl. She's got legs.
You still got legs.
1996. I was the middle leg girl. 16. That's real fun and inappropriate now.
And illegal.
And illegal.
At the time.
But
too.
I totally lied and said I was 18.
Right.
But I was 5'11 at 16. So no one questioned me.
18.
Like they card you now, but like no one questioned me in 1996.
So. No. Well, and you have the confidence to go with it.
You're I believe, you know me. I was like walking in any door. I'm like, I'm supposed to be here.
Well, that's why I think you're so good at manifestation, which we'll get to. But up till leading to the time you had your dance career, then what happened and made you decide? Because you had a tumor, a health scare. And then
I forgot. That
rose from the dead. I'm going to be on TV.
What was this? So, got married. Was like, what am I doing in my life? Had Rainey, my daughter. Became a stepmom and like a mom overnight, which I was like, what are we doing? Because like, I don't want this life, right? Like I knew I wanted to be with Barry, but like, I didn't know I wanted children. I didn't want kids. So I have 2 now. And like, I don't like this. I'm like stressed out. So I decided to like leave my husband. I was like, oh, I don't want to be with you. This is fun. This was fun.
This was fun.
This was fun.
Nice doing business with
you. I'm done. And we separated. For almost a year, I lived with my mom and just, I don't know. I thought, I don't even remember. It's all blur, but I remember being like, this is what I'm doing, which the word, this is what I'm doing. There is no this. I was doing nothing. And then in the middle of all of this, I would like, I'd be walking I think you know the story, but I'd be walking and I like, I would pass out or like, I would get up and I would pass out. I kept thinking I was anemic. I'd like, that's what it is. But what it was a, that's what it was. I went to get my boobs done. And so I went to, that wasn't it. Got the boobs done. Got them done. Everything's good with them. So I had the boobs, right? I went to get my tubes tied. Because remember, I don't want kids.
I don't want kids. Right.
So I went to get my tubes tied. And they take a chest x-ray. And I'm like, it's my tubes.
Why are
you
taking a chest x-ray?
And they call me that night and they're like, you have one of your implants busted. I'm like, they're looking
pretty.
Fine, And he said, you have a mass on the whole left side. The whole left side of you is a mass. And it's, you got it. You have to get a CAT scan and MRI. It ended up being a, the ganglioma tumor. I'm saying it wrong. Because I don't know what I'm saying, but it's a tumor and it was the size of a small softball and it was growing into like my, it had collapsed my lung. It was growing to my lung and it was that my main heart artery was like, it was pushing it up, but it wasn't like coming outside of my body. It was all inside. So they're like, we have to do 2 surgeries.
That's why you couldn't stand up. You weren't getting oxygen. Well, when
I would wear
brain.
A bra, it would cut that. It would cut that one. And then the tumor was pushing up against it. So I was just cutting off all circulation.
Oxygen.
I'm just like, I'd be like, like just passing out. And people are like, well, are you okay?
I'm anemic.
I'm anemic.
This is so you.
How stupid am I?
This is so classic.
So dumb. I'm just standing like, pelt with balls.
You're like, I'm fine. That's fine. So you.
Totally fine. So they said 2 surgeries. One, it's growing from the third notch of your spine, like that third nerve of your spine. It's growing from that and it's growing your body. So the first surgery, we have to take out, detach it from your nerve, from your spine, take that nerve out so it doesn't grow back. You might not be able to walk again. And then the second surgery, we're going to have to cut your back open and then take and break all your ribs and then take that tumor out.
Oh my God.
And I was like, got it. So I got back together with my husband.
You're like, I'm about to die.
Barry. Right.
Run to Barry. You're like, I need support.
Anyway, first surgery happens. I remember waking up immediately and the first thing was move your toes. I moved my toes. I can walk.
Oh, thank God.
And then 4 days later, I had the second surgery. All this to say, I'm in the hospital and I don't know if you, this is the old LSU hospital where the room was facing the dome. Like my room was facing, my window was facing the dome. And every day I would look at it and I was looking. And then my dad just started talking to me. Morphine.
Well, now we're getting into my territory, which is why people now are like, oh, I see why they're friends.
Right. So like every day my dad would talk to me from the dome and it was a very symbolic thing that happened. No, he started speaking to me from the dome.
This is after anesthesia and being doped up on medicine.
I was on drugs.
Right, yeah, right.
And I'm looking out the window and I'm like, Dad, and, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was a dome. It was the Saints. It was all super of dome. The things. All it was
your whole past.
All of it.
Your family line was rearing its head.
Yes. And it was very clear to get on TV.
Mm.
And immediately I get well, I come out of it. I get back with my husband, I get back with Barry. Mm-hmm. And I said, I want to be on TV. Mind you.
No credentials.
Didn't go to school for it.
Yeah.
Didn't graduate in it. Never started in a small market. Didn't, no training, nothing.
Not a
one. I'm going to be on TV.
Yep.
And so I stalked.
Yep.
Lightly stalked. Mm-hmm. I found out the news director, who the news director was, Channel 4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got him. Plugged him into Facebook. Started stalking him.
Nice.
Where is he going?
Okay.
He's going to a fashion something party tonight. Guess who's going to a fashion party something tonight?
Me. Me. Okay, so was this when people were like checking in or they were like interested in this event or whatever? How did you know he was going? Like,
I think the like invite was on his, it was like Fashion Week.
Okay.
You know,
so you know that you're assuming
it was like, you know, Tracy Dundas is like Fashion Week. I think it was started like way back then and it was like Fashion Week and I knew it was coming and I knew he was going.
Right.
So I was like, well, now I'm going.
Now I'm going, yeah.
But I figured he'd be in VIP. So I'm like, well, now I have to figure out how to get in and how to get to VIP.
Yeah.
And mind you, no one knows who I am. At this point. So I'm like, okay, got it. So I tell Barry to get dressed and like, we're going. So we get in.
He's again. Like, you crazy.
I have no idea how we got in. Like, I don't even remember how we got in.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing him and his wife was pregnant. I was like, that's it.
Mm.
And I always would like remember my coach telling me, which I then again coached my girls saying, okay, go always to the wife and kids. You always go to the wife and kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I went straight to her and I'd like sit down. I'm like, just had a baby too. Oh my God. So we're just talking. And then I start telling her what I want to do. And what I wanted to do was like be on TV and I want to be an entertainment reporter, blah, blah, blah. So she's like, Bill, have you met Tamika?
And you're like, ding, ding, ding.
I was like, yes. And she's like, she wants to be. And I'm like, oh my God, nice to meet you. So anyway, he ended up being wonderful, lovely. Like him and his wife, we remain friends till this day. And he's like, so do you have a reel? And I was like, absolutely, I have a reel. He's like, send it to me. I was like, yeah, I got it.
Is before, mind you, anyone who's listening, this is before like social media reels were a thing. Like no one knew what a reel was.
A news reel is your news reel.
Right. Like, it's an actual, like a sizzle reel kind of thing. Like
it's you doing your thing.
You having a job
So I've never been on TV, never. Right. I didn't even know what a reel was. I Googled what is a reel.
Yeah.
And then I put together a reel in one day. I just had a camera guy follow me in the French Quarter. I started talking to the statues and like random people. And I created a reel and I sent it to him before Monday. And he responds back and says, this is great. You're so entertaining. You're so great. But we have nothing. We're a hard news station. It's Channel 4. It's WWL. They're like, we don't have anything for you. I was like, you'll call me. You'll call me.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
What I heard was there's a chance.
Not what you said, but it's what I heard.
I heard was there's a chance.
Right.
It took a year. 10 months later, because this was February, March-ish. No.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And then Super Bowl 2012 is in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
This is 10 months later.
So you knew there was going to be a lot of like media.
But I didn't know this even in the
You didn't know that.
When I stalked him, I didn't know that. I had no idea that like all this was happening.
Yeah.
But 10 months goes by. It's December 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a call and it's like, hey, Super Bowl's in town. You are an entertainment reporter, right?
Yep.
I'm like, yep.
Sure am.
Yep.
As of this moment.
Well, CBS is going to give us 5 nights of live television in
Jack's Brewery.
I can't say the word.
Yeah. This is the one where she cannot say.
Can't say it. And we're going to go live 5 nights. They're going to give us the entertainment. What was Entertainment Tonight? Slot 6:30. And then you will host. Because you're an entertainment reporter. Mm-hmm. We've got you real. And I was like, shit. You're going to host with Sheba Turk. And she was a traffic reporter at this time. And Laura Bugtel, who's the meteorologist. I'm like, okay. And they're like, come to the meeting Monday, I guess it was Monday, Tuesday, whatever day it was. Mm-hmm. I walk in to Sally Ann, Eric Paulson, Angela Hill.
All the major anchors.
Karen Swenson.
At the time in New Orleans on air.
What am I doing? Like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. And I pretended, I swear to God, I pretended that I was that girl. Like, I just faked it. Mm-hmm. I faked it so much I got sick. Like, I was so, I faked it so much, I actually lost my voice. Mm-hmm. Like, I got sick. Mm-hmm. But I was, like, faking it.
Yeah.
This is when I met Tristan. Tristan was the assistant news director who was on to me. She's like, girl, you have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I'm going to make this work for you. Anyway.
Thank God she, like, loved you and was on your side. And y'all are still great friends today.
But to this day, we're great friends. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got on. Oh, no, that's not how I got on. That's how I got the job for New Orleans Tonight. Mm-hmm. So I was the host of New Orleans Tonight for Super Bowl.
Just for the Super Bowl. Okay, yeah.
Do you have time for another story? Because this is really interesting how I actually got, like,
I want
to
hear all
the gig. Because, like, I lied to get it. So then I'm on air. But then I was like, okay, I've done all these Super Bowls with dance. Mm-hmm. I know Super Bowl. Like, I know entertainment. I know
players.
I know people. Mm-hmm. And I knew Jerry Springer. What's his name? Jerry Rice. I knew Jerry Rice. You have no idea who this is. This is football talk. Mm-hmm. You have no idea who this is. But Jerry Rice is like,
I know Jerry Springer.
Jerry Rice is like top player. Yeah. He played for the 49ers. It's not, he was everything. Mm-hmm. And 4 years ago, he like ran into me at Super Bowl in Arizona and like knocked me over and then like picked me up.
Because you were dancing.
I was dancing. Mm-hmm. And then like 2 years later, they played the Superdome and I was like, hey, Jerry. He's like, who are you? And I was like, Tamika. He's like, who are you?
Again, who
are
you?
So I kept seeing him for years randomly, but this is how life works.
Right.
And so there's a party. There's this big party and it's Entertainment Tonight, like Access Hollywood, all of these people. And then Channel 4.
Yeah.
And all of these NFL players come out, like all of these VIP players come out. And I see Jerry Rice and I'm like, Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
Jerry. And he just like looks down. He goes, Tamika? Like, he's like, how the hell?
Yeah.
So I'm like, lights go.
Yeah.
And I just like crawl up on this thing and I throw a mic in his face and I got the first interview. And so Channel 4 is like,
yeah. Meanwhile, you're like, it's like the easy bake oven of reporting.
It is literally fuckery. It is just tragic. Like, how do I get this interview? But I get the interview. And they were like, you are everything.
Right.
And then I'm telling you from my time with cheering for the Saints, I just knew. And then I turn around, like Roman Harper's there. Then I turn around and like Deuce McAllister.
From all your dancing days.
Just cheering days. All of this started aligning. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting all the interviews. Like, nobody else is getting interviews.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm on to something.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So by the end of that week, I was like, do I have a job?
Yeah.
At Channel 4?
Right.
They're like, no.
No, you're not hired.
They're like, we don't do entertainment.
We hired you for a week.
Right.
And we're done. You're a contract worker. Right. Yeah.
So then eventually, like a month later, I kept hounding them. And then they called and they said, well, we have one position for you. We're going to move Sheba Turk to reporter. Mm-hmm. Would you want to do traffic? And I was like, absolutely not. See you later. And I hang up the phone. I tell my husband, I'm like, can you believe they call me to do traffic? Like, who does traffic? And he's like, you're going to call back and you're going to say yes. You don't even have a job.
Right, right.
And I was like, I don't know East, West. I'm
You still don't.
I still don't. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah.
He's like, you're going to take the job. Mm-hmm. And I studied traffic very intensely. And then I became a traffic reporter for Channel 4. And I was like, I'm going to be best traffic reporter. I'm going to wear the best outfits. I'm going to be a brand. And that's where I think like branding even started. Like I became like Tamika Lee the brand during my entire traffic time.
Well, yeah, because you didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
So you had to make a brand to make sure to make yourself like irreplaceable.
Yes.
You know?
And so at this point, Hunter, my stepson, he's going to Holy Cross, fifth grade, first year. And there's a gala. And at the gala, we end up sitting with this random group. And I recognized the GM from WGNO at the table. Now, mind you, I've been on air for 2 weeks at this point. Have a job. I'm a traffic reporter. I see the WGNO. And I remember they just came out with News with a Twist. Like, News with a Twist was new. And I'm like, that's what I want to do because it's entertainment.
And it's a nighttime show.
It's a nighttime show. Yeah. It's evening. Like, and it's that's about what I want to do.
Yeah.
Like, traffic reporter. I want to be there. Mm-hmm. So I tell him at the table, hi, I'm Tamika Lee from Channel 4, but like, I want to be on your show and be the co-host of your show. He laughed at me. He said, oh my God, we have Susan Rogers and LBJ. They're like icons. Like, like almost like a joke. And I'm like, you're going to call me in 5 years. Mm-hmm. I said that. Mm-hmm. I said, you're going to call me in 5 years. Do you know he called me in 5 years to the day? I mean, it was like to the day. I'm filming Southern Charm New Orleans and I get a call from him and says, do you want to co-host News with a Twist? Swear to God.
That's insane.
And I ended up doing that for another 5 years. Yeah.
But so for those 5 years, were you branding yourself every single day to try and putting yourself out there?
I do nothing about traffic. If you watched any traffic report of mine, good luck getting to work. Don't know. Couldn't tell you how to get there.
Yeah, you made so many mistakes.
So many mistakes. Yeah. I was like, what is eastbound? Which I don't understand. And the West Bank is south of the city. So it's not the west side. It's south side. We're done.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I look cute and I'm funny and I'm just personable and I just show up and get up at 2:30 and keep going, one of these days.
Well, and you're dyslexic.
Well, I didn't know that until COVID.
Okay.
Until Anchor. That's a whole
other. That's a whole other story. Yeah.
It's a whole nother. Another time.
Oh my God.
10 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I did News with a Twist with LBJ for another 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which was like, I mean, and I eye roll because it was the best time of my life.
Yeah.
I mean, LBJ was my partner in crime. We had so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
News with a Twist was everything. And then COVID happened.
Yeah.
And no entertainment, no restaurants, no new, like no entertainment. Yeah. Everything was off. They pulled the show.
It was just news, hard news just at that point.
Yeah. Hard news. They're like, well, if you want to have a job, we have to transition you to be an anchor. I'm like, okay, well then that's how I got my anchoring job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the anchor on Good Morning New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And I do my read and I was like, And they're like, you read everything wrong.
You read everything wrong.
I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, you read everything backwards and everything wrong. I'm like, wait, what? And that, ladies and gentlemen, was the day I found out I was dyslexic.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea. And it made so much sense.
Yeah.
Why I couldn't test well in school, while I struggled in school. Everything made sense to me.
Yeah.
Like I cried for a long time because I had no idea. It all landed. I was like, I knew I was smart, but I didn't know what was wrong with me.
Yeah.
And now I knew what was wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Instead of thinking that you're dumb or anything like it's like an actual thing that was
actual thing.
Right.
And so producers just wrote for me. So they wrote EYETN, which was I-10. They couldn't write I-10 because I would say.
Yeah.
1220.
Yeah. And you have a very unique version of dyslexia.
Yes.
Because you add in things that aren't even
I add in things and I say them with pure confidence and convention. And that is what it is.
I know.
Like I will read it and I'm like,
yep,
you're wrong.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
That was, I would wake up and you were on TV early in the morning. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'd wake up early and you're on there. And I was like, oh my God, look at her go. And then I was like, yep, look at her go.
Yeah.
Not saying a damn thing correctly.
Say things that just would be very, you know.
Yeah.
But I said it very convincing. So, you know, it was.
Yeah.
And to be an anchor, you know, people have to trust you, what you're saying. And so I was, it was a huge insecurity of mine trying to get through that life span of anchoring because you had to be on and you had to be right and you had to be correct, you know? So,
well, yeah, it's hard.
Morning
news,
show is easier because it's easier. It's not hard news, but when hurricanes happen, that's when my life, Ida changed my entire life. So, you know, things get real.
Yeah.
And it got real.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm done. I'm done. And in 2023, I was like, I'm out.
Yeah. You left. Well, I mean, you were a little bit traumatized during a hurricane.
Yes.
You know, you have to.
Yes.
For people who don't know, who don't live in New Orleans, you had to stay in the studio like overnight through the hurricane.
And we're on the eighth floor of a glass building.
Right. The roof's falling in.
The roof's fell in.
Fell in. There's no electricity. No. Y'all had to run on
generators. And there was food just from whoever, whatever restaurant was open that gave us food. I slept on the floor in my studio.
Yep.
Took showers in the bathroom of the studio. And this is for weeks. Mm-hmm. And my family's gone. Mm-hmm. And I was not okay. Yeah. I was not okay.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, I have videos. I can't, I was not okay.
Yeah.
And I knew then I needed to get out. Like I was like, I needed a way to get out, but I had peaked. I had like done I was here. So I'm like, what do I do? Mm-hmm. Where do I go?
Yeah.
And then Oprah calls and then I did and worked for her.
Yep. Yeah. And you hosted a dating show and
yes.
you were the matchmaker for a show on
I'm a matchmaker. And then there's another hat. I'm a matchmaker. I don't know if y'all know all this. Guys, yeah. I'm everything, okay?
It is so fun. I mean, you really, and this is really what I want to showcase too. When you set your mind to something.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
That is it.
Yes.
So.
But I'm the most indecisive person ever.
Okay. Right.
Right. Right.
But I think when you operate off of your gut and mm-hmm. when you see something or feel something that is very clear to you, mm-hmm. there's no stopping you at all.
No.
Because you're embodying the full energy of whatever that is. You use your mind a lot. Like, I don't want to say fantasy, but you do utilize that part of your brain where you imagine the whole scenario beforehand. I don't think you even realize that you do this, but it's actually part of like a superpower for manifesting something.
Are you saying that I'm special?
Yeah.
Okay.
You are. Well, you really are. I think.
Thank you.
There, it is a superpower because, you know, most people have that part of their voice in their head saying, like, no, I can't. Who am I? Oh, whatever. Yeah. But if you, in some ways, if you start from ground zero, start from nothing, and you believe like, well, I wasn't good at school, whatever. What else am I going to do? You threw yourself into it. Mm-hmm. You know,
I had no choice, Am.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, there was no choice.
I'm right.
Like, I wasn't, in my mind, smart enough.
Right.
In my mind, I'm like, what do I have? What? I'm great at dancing. I'm good at perform. I wasn't even a good dancer. If you look at it, I'm not even a great dancer. I just perform well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I like hoodwink everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you
hoodwink. There's the dyslexia. No.
Right. I hoodwink, which is, what is the word?
Hoodwinked.
Oh.
Yeah.
I say plot twist.
No, yeah.
I said it.
You said a plot.
I used to say twat.
Plist.
And a Todd passed
and a
for
Todd passed.
A podcast. This is now the Ask
and sanitizer.
I say all those things. And I say them like I'm
full stop.
Up, right.
Yep. No one's stopping you.
Okay. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah. So where, like, from my perspective, being the opposite of you in a lot of ways, where I have that belief about myself of, oh, I've always achieved. I've always been smart. I've always been, you know, X, Y, Z. All I can do is go down in some aspects. So I'm terrified when I put myself out
That's
there.
That's fascinating.
Right?
Yeah.
So where you
Never
go,
tried that.
Yeah, you go the opposite where I feel like I have something to lose constantly. And you feel like if you're starting from ground zero.
But I never thought it was ground zero. That's so crazy.
I know. Because I mean, there's just no blockage
for you. I mean, I guess like normal people, like people would say that's ground. I never thought it was ground zero. I always thought I had the upper hand. I was just like, is this how life works? Like if you want something, you just go do it.
Go do it. Right. That's what I'm saying. Your belief system is so strong. You have no blockages.
Yeah.
And I think that's so powerful.
Was that from when I saw my dad die at 5 or like, where did that come from? Like, I'm saying like, where does that come from? Where you're just like,
honestly, you know what I mean? People deal with trauma differently.
Yeah.
And I think you probably have a genetic mutation that makes you more resilient.
See, there you go.
Stress.
Yeah. You're
Sorry.
Talking alien talk.
Okay.
What the hell are you doing?
I'll back up. You're probably just born with the ability that people aren't going to tell you no. That's another way of saying it.
Oh, I don't like no. Well, yeah.
Well, yeah. But I think you deal with trauma in a way of like you were honestly traumatized at that age.
Mm-hmm.
And I think starting from there, you're like, oh, well, I've experienced something so traumatic that most human beings don't experience their whole lifetime.
Okay.
And so if you're starting from there where you're like, I've already lost everything.
Right.
There is nothing to lose.
Right.
I have no block of this isn't going to work
out. I feel like I've lost everything so many times. So like I lost everything at 5, right? Then I lost everything in Katrina.
Yep.
Then I lost everything. You know, my mom was diagnosed with MS when I was 8. I didn't even mention that.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So she's been sick my entire life. So we really raised each other, Sonny and I.
Yeah.
Which in between all of this, we started a whole foundation called Son of a Saint.
Yeah.
Like, right. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Like,
right.
Sonny's trauma came with, he started a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I became this whatever.
Right.
Whatever. But yeah, no, I totally see what you're saying. It's like, I have no, like the word no, rejection, like all of those things that people are afraid of. Like, it's not even a fear. It's almost like a challenge for me. It's like, tell me no.
Mm-hmm.
And I go through the back door. I'm like,
oh, that's dirty talk.
Say
to you.
I can't. I'm like, you have turned me on. Like, you tell me no.
Yeah.
Or you say I can't. I'm like,
yeah. That's what happened with us.
When someone says yes, I'm like, oh, no, it's boring. I don't want to do it. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to go that way. I want the grit of trying to like go and be like, that's it. I've done it.
That's what you did with me.
Well, that's how we
with our friendship.
That's how I do a lot of things, but that's our friendship too. You were like, who are you? I don't want to talk to you. And I was like, put your number on my phone.
I know. You're like, we're going to dinner.
And you're like, no. And I was like, see you at 7.
Yeah. That's exactly it. And then I was like, okay, guess we're doing this. Yeah.
Oh, when I want something, trust me, it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, I knew. Yeah,
which is interesting because raising kids and whatever, I feel like I've gotten soft, a little soft. I need to get hard again. I need to be gritty again.
Well, I think that is also what I want to get to is you, which is so relatable. I think because you're a mom, and I think one thing that you did really well in some ways is you kept a separate identity for yourself outside of motherhood, where I have seen mothers, a lot of my clients actually, their identity becomes the mother, right? And so when their child goes off to college or whatever, which I know you're going through a separate situation, but when your child goes off to college or whatever,
it's okay.
Then those mothers are calling me saying, who am I? What do I want? What have I done my whole life? My identity is wrapped up in my child or the idea of being a mother and sacrificing. Yeah,
living through your kid.
Right.
Yeah.
Who am I? What do I want? Where like the fathers or the men don't really have an identity crisis when that happens. It's more of like because they're working most of the time and they have their separate identity outside of fatherhood. There is no crisis for them.
Right. Right.
So the most is like, oh, well, I'll miss you or whatever, but they don't really understand the woman in the relationship is like, holy crap, what do I do now? Who am I?
Right.
And so they go through that journey and it can be very isolating because the husband doesn't understand.
Right.
Or their friends don't understand who don't have kids or whatever it is. And so it becomes this whole journey for them. And I think what you've done very well is have your identity outside of motherhood. But like you said, I've gotten soft over the years. Do you think it's because you've left TV and you dove more into motherhood, or do you think that's been like?
Well, there's a lot of things I think happen.
Yeah.
One, to give my mother all the credit. I think I'm like that because she was like that. She had no choice. Her husband died. She was 34. She had two kids under, at this point, five. Six,
and she was
at
sick. This time.
She was sick.
Right.
So she had, like, I grew up with that mom and that woman mentality of you have to, you know, she wasn't all in. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I think about even me going to rum and all the other things I do with dance, my aunt was there. I had other people that were there. It wasn't my mom. And not because she couldn't. I mean, not because she didn't want to, because she couldn't be there. She was sick.
And trying to survive.
Yeah,
everything was too stressful.
I feel like maybe that's where I get that part from. But I also feel like I'm ruining my child's life by not being that mom. Like, I look at the other moms growing up, because I have a really good mom group. I have a really good village. And I'm like, God, they're so good. They're so in tune and so like on. They're like doing the mom line. And I'm like, should I be doing the mom line? Should I be like cooking breakfast for them? Like, I'm like, I was so confused. And I'm like, what is this? Like, but you know, she's fine, by the way. She's perfect, actually.
Yeah,
my daughter.
She is. Yeah.
But I think that's where that came from. It's because I only saw it. So I only mirrored that. No, I think, I mean, look, you know, life is life and life be life in.
Yeah.
So what happened was, you know, when the Oprah show didn't get picked up again, and then I didn't have a job and I was like, what did I do? I left the news. I don't have this show. Who am I? What am I doing?
What's happening? The identity crisis happened.
But it wasn't because I was a mom. It was because of like I was on level 10. I mean, I had a reality show. I was coaching the Saints. I was, on the news in the morning, and then I had nothing.
Well, that's how moms feel. When they dove into their child's
life. I dove my career, so my career was over.
But yours was your career, right.
Exactly. So I've kind of mourned, this is where I'm at. And you know me, we are best friends. So you've seen this side of me in the last year. You've seen me mourn my life in the last year. I'm like, all right, what am I doing? So I'm just now coming out of that, and I have to come out of it because at the same time, my child is leaving.
Yeah.
So she's a senior, right? So in 6 months, she'll be gone. So I need to like get it together. So it's a little, but yeah.
Yeah.
So now I'm trying to figure out how to like blow up the world again. Yeah. It's going to be blown up. Trust me. Not like that, but like that.
Yeah, I know.
I have to come back out again.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what you decide to do, because whatever you choose, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Because it's who you are as a person. Like everything you do, you love hard, you work hard, you play hard.
Yeah.
You go hard.
You know?
And I love that about you, because I'm an intense person too. Yeah. I don't know if you noticed that.
Which is why I'm drawn to you.
Yeah. Right.
Because you're just no shit. You're just, this is who I am, an alien. I'm not supposed to be on this earth plane. What am I doing here? And let's get through this life. And I love it. I like it. Let's
get through this life. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, I'll see you in the next life. It's fun.
Yeah.
We played enough here.
Yeah.
You know, so you're intense. And I like that. I like people who know who they are. I like real people. I know people, people are always like, I like real people. Nope, you don't. People are always like, I like real. You can't, normal person cannot handle the real person. I'm sorry. Here I go. Yeah. He's so mad at me right now. Because he's like, you're hitting the mic again.
No, you're
real
fine.
People can't handle real people. Like a normal person can't handle an intense real person. It's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's a lot. Like to the point where like we can't even talk a day, every day, because it's mm-hmm. too much, right?
Yeah.
So yes, you have to, it's doses, it's small doses, mm-hmm. but I do like really real authentic people. I like people who are just like, I'm fucked up and like, mm-hmm. this is what it is. I'm like, that's it.
Yeah.
I like you.
Yeah. So are you calling me fucked up?
No, I'm kidding. No.
I got it.
But I like people to be a little wounded, a little raw, a little real. That's life. If you know, what's the point of you know?
Well, I think it's just honest. You know,
I mean, I even go back to my marriage. I'm like, I've been with my husband for 20. And I roll because it's a long time. It's 22 years, and I'm like, I talk to no one about my marriage. Like, I mean, I tell you things, but like, I don't talk to people about it because no one has been with anyone that long.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are people, but
1%. I don't even want to talk to them because it's like, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's things like that. Like I don't ask advice from somebody who's acting better than you. So it's like, it's those things, you know?
Well, it is interesting because sometimes I used to subscribe to that, but sometimes people who are so removed from your situation can offer the weirdest piece of advice sometimes because they have a vantage point that is so removed from it. Like if they have nothing to lose or whatever, they're like, oh, and they'll like, I've experienced that before where they'll just point it out. I'm like,
but it's personal. It's not something that you've been actually seeking. It's not like you're asking someone for advice.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's somebody just like showing you, it's like somebody just commenting. You.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's like a real read. Like I like, I will do that. I do it all the time.
Right.
It's like a real read. And I like somebody who's like that.
Yeah.
You can really read somebody just off their authentic being of person, not like a situation. Like, I think this is what you should do in your situation. I'm like, shut up.
I know.
Stop talking.
I think people are actually people who I found just with business advice for me, people who have been in situations and have excelled at business, whatever, have actually a lot of trauma in the business world. So they are coming at it from a perspective how they went through and got burned or whatever. And so I don't get as clear of the information from them.
Every successful story, every successful person, I believe, comes from the most traumatic, worst failing places ever.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
If they're removed from it.
I literally look at my brother. I'm like, he has the number one foundation in the city, but like, look at what he went through.
Right.
If he did not have this experience, it would not be the foundation it was to mentor boys who are fatherless.
Right.
Like it has to come from a place of failure or trauma, or it has to come from something, right? It can't just, it has to, like, in order to be that successful, it has to come from something that's so painful that you just
connection
you sprout.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I definitely know what you mean. Yeah. I think it is interesting who you get advice from, because especially relationships, they're so individual and everyone has different, I mean, relationships are mirrors. Mm-hmm. So it's whatever's going to go on within that person. Like other people can comment on it or try to help. And sometimes it is really helpful, but for the most part, relationships are such an individual experience that you almost have to just kind of like baptism by fire in every relationship that I've found. But yeah, anyway, long story longer.
We digress.
Yeah, we digress. But no, I wanted to ask you. Let's see here. And I wrote these questions. Nope. these questions at midnight. Like, what did I write?
What do you want to know, Am?
Oh, yeah. Do you still get signs from your dad?
Yes. All the time. Every day. I think about him every day. I still get signs from him. Mm-hmm. He makes rainbows. I don't know if y'all knew that. My dad makes rainbows.
That's sweet.
The Lord does not. My father does. And water, he talks me through water. He talks to me through leaves. I still, when I'm going through something, he'll talk to me through something. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't cry. I've never cried over my dad. Like even my wedding day, my mom walked me down the aisle. She's like, I'm actually walking her. I'm like dragging this woman down the aisle. I'm like, can you get your shit together? And she's like, I'm okay. And I've never cried over my dad. I've never sobbed. I just always feel like he's with me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't miss somebody who's not here. And he's always here. Mm-hmm. So it's so weird and crazy. But I hear him and talk to him all the time.
That's sweet.
It's crazy.
Yeah. No, I think that is interesting. I love that part of you, that spiritual side, that you have that connection. Because some people just can't feel it as much or don't have it as much or whatever it is. But, you know, we're intense. So we feel all the things.
And I'm like, he's right here. What are you talking about?
I know. It is so interesting. I love that you feel that. What else? No, I had a specific question. Oh, yeah. Okay. So.
Why are you skipping?
Because we talked about that.
Oh.
Okay.
By the way, if you don't know me, I'm like, what are you not telling me? Tell me everything.
Yeah, I know. You hate that. No. Yeah. Just to be clear. We've cleared all these.
Just want to make sure.
Okay. What have you learned the most from your family, culture, or New Orleans that you think has benefited you?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. Repeat it.
What have you... That's a good question. I wish I listened to it.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
You already know. I heard nothing.
I know.
Like, I heard... Like,
you felt it, but yeah.
I don't... I got it. You know, I already know. Weird. Okay, go again.
Okay. What have you learned...
Okay.
The most.
Okay.
From your family, your culture, or New Orleans that has benefited you?
Oh, New Orleans and my family. Okay. So weird. It's so like probably basic, but New Orleans and my family have always allowed me both New Orleans, Marie, Louisiana. Because I call her New Orleans, Marie, Louisiana.
Right.
Has allowed me to be exactly who I am. Mm-hmm. And my family pushed from, because, you know, my family's, it's full of doctors and lawyers and they hold education to a high level and it's an image and it's that whole thing. But I came in, you know, I kick and scream. And then at some point they just, okay, Tamika.
Yeah.
So it's the allowance of letting me be exactly whatever that was. And I think that's what I've learned from my family and I learned from the city. Like the city just lets me be colorful and destructive and all the things that I am. So, and it's embraced me. And so I'm always like, I don't think any other city in the world would let me be that way. That's what I love about like New Orleans and like my family.
Yeah.
Yeah. And down to even like, yes, my family growing up, the maternal side. I don't know my paternal side. My dad was the only child and I didn't know his side, which when I found out I was like, you know, part Chinese, I lost it. I was like, there I am. You know, just because you don't know. But even down to like Barry and my kids, like my children and my husband know exactly who I am. And they allow me to be this crazy, wild mom, socialite, wine drinking, repeating myself over and over again. Like they just let me be me.
Yep.
And that's like the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. That's so good.
Yeah.
Did you consciously choose, okay, my family, like the family cycle that you were in of the doctors, the lawyers, the education, all of that. Did you consciously say, no, I don't want that? Or was it something that you felt at any point in time, like maybe I do want to go that route or
no?
No.
No. I always felt like the black sheep. Literally, I felt like the black sheep. I was very like, I'm not like any of these people.
Yeah.
Like, who am I? You know, and I didn't know my dad's side. Like, I keep saying that. So I'm like, am I like them? Like, and I found out my grandmother was a gospel singer. You know, I'm like, what? Like, she's a performer.
Like, your mom, your dad's mom
was a gospel singer. And then I realized as I get older, that my mom's mom and dad were ballroom dancers. Like, this all makes sense. Like,
yeah,
no one land the plane. Mm-hmm. Like, y'all try to be all, you know,
yeah,
cute and sadditty, which is a very Black term, which means uppity.
Yeah.
But like, y'all, you know, it's like, and I'm just here living my best entertainment life. And like, it makes sense now. It all makes sense. It all makes sense. The whole thing makes sense now. I'm like, I was born to just be like
you,
me.
Yeah. Well, you are so much like your dad too. And I know you didn't really know him, but I mean, a Saints player.
Yeah.
Like, all out there being his self. You know, your mom has talked about him and how
like, he walks in the room and you have to look at him. I'm like, that's me.
That's you.
Walk in the room. I walk in the room like, you're going to notice me.
Yeah.
5'11".
Mm-hmm. You're as subtle as a gun.
Like, you're going to see me.
Yeah.
Coming.
Exactly. Right. Yep.
So that's
it. You are part of your family. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I love that. And I love how my family and my immediate family, my chosen family, and then my friends and even like New Orleans lets me just like be that person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I love how you are.
Thank you.
Loud and proud.
Loud and proud.
I love it. Okay. What is something, if anything, in your family culture, New Orleans, that you have looked at and purposely said no to? Like, no, I don't subscribe to that. Like, that's not something I want to do. If anything, it could not. Maybe nothing.
No, I mean, I don't subscribe to fitting into whatever things look like. You know, I am, and I say that meaning racially, meaning genderly, meaning agely. Mm-hmm. These are all words I make up.
Yeah.
But I don't subscribe to being like the 40-something-year-old Black woman, mother,
You're just you.
I love who I love. Mm-hmm. My friends are who my friends are. Mm-hmm. I do what I want. I'm going to go here. You will find me at Under the Bridge on Mardi Gras Day, you know, ride with Zulu. Mm-hmm. And you will find me at Galatoire's on a Friday. I have such a, my life is so interesting. I have so many different friends, all diverse backgrounds, all diverse ages and genders. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, gay, straight, men, women. Like just if you come to me how you are, real, I'm like, that's it. Like, I love love. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I'm just like, I don't subscribe to the, what's the word? I don't know what the word is, but it's I don't subscribe to any like
fakery or fuckery.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to like the cultness of things that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just like, it's me. Just let me be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't like lines.
I don't like lines.
Like waiting
I don't
in like lines.
Yeah. I will not wait in line.
Yeah. I know.
I will figure out a way to
for
get
anything.
But it's also like a metaphor of my life. Like I'm gonna always go through the back door. I'm gonna always figure out a way to get in. Mm-hmm. So I just like, I don't understand. Why do people wait in line? Why do you wait in line? Like, why do you wait in line? Like, why, when you see like to go into the Superdome or like the Smoothie King's, but why do you wait? Mm-hmm. When there's like three doors down there, no one's in line.
Yeah.
Just go through the door on the side.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
I literally don't understand.
Well, until I met you, I'm like, I'm going to get in line and follow the rules because I'm scared.
No, I'm just like, and I'm also the girl who's like, always, my favorite line is, I'm everything you think I am.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a reality show on TV and you are an anchor on TV and you are a mom, everybody has like rules for what you should be. Like, you're married, you should, you know, you have to go everywhere with your husband, or you're a mom, you should be at home on Tuesday night, or you're an anchor, you need to not have an opinion about this. Or everybody has an opinion about the opinion about what I do, about what I, I'm everything you think I am.
Yep.
If you think I'm the best person ever, great. If you think I'm the worst person ever, I am.
Mm-hmm.
You think I'm a bitch?
Right.
I am.
Right.
If you think you're like, you're a horrible mother. I am.
Right.
Great.
Now what?
Now what? Right. Like, right. Now what?
Right.
Like, my kids living proof that I'm not. So I'm like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I know. I love that about you. When, because I have gotten caught up in the mental, I guess, gymnastics, the mental gymnastics of the belief system that other people have for me. Because I'm so sensitive. I feel into it. And so I'll feel what someone's thinking about me or judging me.
You're like, You're
so
yeah.
I have to put up a lot of boundaries because I feel it and I have like, a hard time.
Did you hear my burp? I just burp. Okay. Sorry.
Thanks for announcing that.
I'm sorry. No, because I burped and I was like, that was that on, you know. Sorry. It's okay. Your belief system. What you can feel when people, you see so clearly what people think that you can see what they think about you.
Yeah. So it's hard for me to, if I don't have boundaries,
yeah.
I'll start performing the way they view me. So I'll get sucked into how they view me or project onto me or whatever. I can feel, even if someone's in China and I am friends with them or connected to them or whatever, and they're thinking something about me, I can feel it. Mm. And I can feel it from afar. And I will then feel obligated to text them or make it right or fix it or whatever it is. And it has nothing to do with me, but people project on me a lot because I do pick up on a lot of.
I agree with that.
People project so much onto me. And so because I'm picking up on it or feeling it, it almost validates what their belief system is. So I've had to learn, and I'm still learning this, how to put up that boundary and one, not care, because then they don't feel justified in whatever their belief system is. Before, when I was taking it on, it was telling them, yeah, you're right.
You're right.
Like, yeah, you're correct. Right. And they're not, you know, it's just their own version of reality.
There's one saying it and one believing it too. You have to like my brother, this is just like a Saturday night. He was just like, you're drinking too much. And I was like, I have. I did.
Did I stutter?
Yeah. I'm drunk. Did I stutter?
Yeah.
Like I'm having a good, I'm sorry your night is ruined by watching me have fun. Like I'm fine. I am good.
Right.
I will call my Uber Black, who is my husband.
Right.
Who will come pick me.
Right.
I'm like, cool. Like stop projecting your like insecurity of what people think that I look like for you being your, like stop.
Yeah.
Like,
well, a lot of it's like fear and control for people in general.
Yeah,
their own stuff is, you know. So it's interesting because people will try to, especially siblings or, you know, family members, friends, whatever, will try to project that onto you because they're feeling some kind of way about it themselves.
Or I've had to catch myself a time or two with my kids with that because, it's true. Like you start going like, you know, people are going to think, you know, and so I do that as a mother and I have to let it go because I'm just like, they are who they are. Mm-hmm. In their own right, in their own path.
Yep.
And that's been hard. You know, I've talked about a lot of stuff, but yeah.
That is hard.
My children live their own path.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
That's I can only imagine how hard that would be because you want to guide them and help them do the right thing, but then also they're entitled to their own experience. You know, they're entitled to make mistakes. Hopefully they're not catastrophic. But yeah, it's
rare when you can see what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, you do understand that when you do this and decide this will happen. And every time I'm right. But you can't say, I've told you so.
Yeah.
Because then it's like you have to do the reverse psychology. You got to go,
Yeah.
And then I'm going to call you.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, yep.
She did it. I told her.
I'm like, I'm so proud of you. You're keeping your mouth shut. You're just listening. Yeah.
Right. And then my childhood friends are like, you did way worse. I'm like, I know. It's so crazy because she actually was mature about that. Anyway,
Funny. I know. It's cute. Funny. I love it. So I think part of what I was going to say about manifestation for you is that there is no blockage for you when you're trying to manifest. And I think there's no blockage for you either about who you are. I think I've told you this before. You're so clear on who you are, what you want, where you're going, what you're doing. Maybe not where you're going.
I never know where I'm going.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I'm clear about what I want and who I am. I'm not ever clear on where I'm going. I never know where I'm going. I have no clue where I'm going. But that's like the journey. And I was going back to a football term, and I saw this online and I saw it through a friend's story, and then I heard it and I was like, it makes sense football related, but it was like, everybody always like wants a touchdown. Everybody wants like the touchdown. Like they want the Hail Mary touchdown, but like no one realizes you have to get the first downs to get the touchdowns. And that's how I live my life. I live my life on first downs.
Yeah.
Like I never really look at the touchdown. I'm always like, I'll say something in jest of like something big. And then I work really hard at like the little middle steps. Like, if I say I want to be on TV in Channel 4, like that's a touchdown. Like, but then people are like, where do I start? And so I go stalk the news director. That's where my mind goes.
Yeah.
Stalk the news director. Not like go to school and like work on it and go to the small market.
Right.
I go like tragic.
Yeah.
I'm like, stalk the news director. Then I'm like walking through the back door. Then I'm like, you know, hit him at the stop sign and T-bone him and get his number. You're like, that's me. Like, you like a guy, like spill a drink on him and throw up on him. And then you're like, I got to clean you up. Like, that's my advice.
Yeah. tragic, like, but it works.
Tragic advice, but it's like, it's the first downs of like getting to the big picture.
Yeah.
When people are like, I want that love. I want to find my person. It's so big. It seems so jarring. It seems so like, you know, I want to get into college. Everything seems so jarring. I'm just like, but you got to do the little things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I tell my kid, she wants to get into all these schools. I'm like, but like, how is your civics grade today?
Right. Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, did you talk to your it's like little things like that that make the bigger picture work.
Yep.
So yeah, it's little things like that.
Yep. It is. No, I think you're so guttural when you're going into something, like you as a person, you're so guttural, where I think other people are way more cerebral, where
they think about things.
They think about it. Right.
I'm like, they think about it?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
People like, overthink things. Like they think about like, what am I like, how do they overthink it?
I think like, okay. So for me, when I'm in college, I'm thinking, well, the natural next step is I'm going to go to medical school.
Okay.
Like that's what I'm thinking because I'm good at science, I'm good at health, I'm good at these things.
Okay.
I'm going to go to medical school. And then when I had to really learn how to tune into my gut to be like, okay, this isn't what I feel I want, what I feel. And that was like the first time in my life that I was like turning that feeling state, that guttural feeling on and not just doing what's expected or what's the natural next step that you just think you're going to do. Like your professors think you're going to do that because you major in pre-med and all this kind of stuff where you're just like, okay. And you don't realize you're going down this stream. And then you look up, you're like, how the hell did I get here? Like, do I even want this? You know? And I think a lot of people experience that where I think you don't. I think you always have your head up and you're always looking at where you're navigating throughout the stream. I think you cognizantly choose, like you'll see something that you just like and you're like, I want to do that thing. And you'll go, you'll run through a wall for that thing where I don't think I,
well, because
before
you,
then
well,
I didn't get that.
Because you go, well, you just said it, right? I'll run through a wall. Like, what do you think when you think run through a wall? Like, what do normal people think? I'm going to get hurt. I'm going to get bruised. The wall's going to hit me. It's going to bounce back.
Right.
I'm like, oh, I'll break an arm and then I'll put a cast on it.
Right.
And then I'll keep walking.
Yeah.
That's right. That's me.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
Right. That's why I'm like, you're so good at manifestation because there's no block. There's no block for you.
So you're saying, again, that I'm special.
Yeah. You're special.
Special in a lot of ways.
You're special in a lot of ways, a lot of things. Oh, Lord. Okay. I have two more questions for you. You're doing well. You're hanging in there. Okay. two questions. I'll start with this one. Has anyone in your family lived to be 100 or close?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like close to 100 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My grandmother, I think she was 98 when she, my mom's mom.
Okay.
Trina Anna Gilliam. Saison Gilliam. That was her name. I know. She lived to 98, and I'm probably getting this wrong. She's probably like 96, but it was 90.
In the 90s.
Yeah, it was 90s. Yes.
What do you think her secret to longevity was?
Oh, she was so like badass. She was just, she just was, that's the word. That's the, I'm a lot like her.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm a lot like. I wish I knew her like better. When you're a kid, you don't really like want to know your grandma. You're like,
you don't.
Just, and that, when you get older, you're like, who was she?
Yeah, right.
You're like, what happened?
All
I have
secrets.
Her hands. I have her big man hands.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love
I do.
Your
well,
hands.
I hate my hands, but I've learned to love them now. I don't know. I think she was a lot. I think we were a lot alike. And I think she just didn't. It was that no nonsense life attitude about things. I think when the word cancer comes up, meaning like, I think when you hold things in or you worry about things or you're not able to get it out, get whatever that is out, it becomes a cancer and it can manifest itself in your body to illnesses and things like that's what I think. And I know you have a different metaphysical way of saying that.
No, which but works, it's true.
But that's how I think. So I'm just like, there's something about being like
getting it out,
getting everything out.
Yeah.
And just getting whatever that is out. There's something about that that just makes it free and like gets it out of your body.
100%.
It makes you live longer. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I love that part about you. You will, if something's bothering you or something, or if I did something or whatever, you're so quick to be like, hey, like you'll say it. And that's probably one of the things that I love the most about you. Yeah. And I appreciate, because I'm that way. Like, I'm like, let's just rip the Band-Aid off and talk about it.
Something happened this week. And like, I thought I wasn't invited to an event. Mm-hmm. And I felt some kind of way. And I was like, am I not invited? And I like called the person. I'm like,
that's you.
I feel like you didn't invite me. And like instead of like seeing it on Instagram, being like, oh, I wasn't invited. And like keeping it in and be like, and then having, and then feeling some kind of way and being all, I'm like, was I not invited?
Yeah.
Because I'm, my feelings are hurt and I feel some kind of way.
Well, and then conversely, you're the also the person to say, yeah, I didn't invite you. Like that's happened before where it's like, okay.
Did I tell you that?
Okay. Okay, so she didn't invite me. I'm not, you
I know, invite I know me. What you're talking about.
But yeah, I'm like, okay, so she meant to walk out on me. Like, you know, it's like, okay, well, that's Tamika. You know, it's like, I have to just accept
it. Did you hear what I said? Right. Yeah, yeah. I didn't stutter. Right.
And you're like, no, I'm clear. I did walk out on you or whatever it is. And I'm like, okay.
I have to get things out or I can't, I can't sleep.
Well, you're honest.
I have to.
If you're like, I have to, I learned this from you. You meet your own needs so well. And I struggle with that so much.
Well, I have to. Who else is going to do it?
Well, yeah. Well, I grew up where...
Most people grew up with very healthy parents. Yeah. Or
very involved.
Very involved in the situation or home. That was, I had to...
Do it from jump from 6 years old.
If I wanted anything, I had to figure out how to get it.
Yep.
Myself. Yep. That's it. Not it feels like a slight to my mother because she was amazing and was wonderful. Oh, yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, it was a very like... No, because we had everything we needed. Like, we did. It's just, it feels very like, I feel like I'm saying like, she was a horrible mother.
You know, no, she's, like, no, I love your mom. You know what I mean? She's amazing.
But I had those instincts came from, whatever.
Well, it's not even coming from your mom. It's that you knew she was sick. Mm-hmm. So you as a child internalized that and said, okay, well, I'm going to like stay out of her way as much as possible. Mm-hmm. I want my mom to heal. I want her to be healthy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take care of this myself. Mm-hmm. And I think you've led your life that way.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said for that.
Yeah. Because well, I want somebody to like help me and like be solved with me. Like in my older last part of years of life.
Yeah.
What I do want is to not do that anymore. I would like to be spoiled.
That's good.
Yeah. I do want that. I do want to be like taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And I say what I said. And I mean that. I'm money driven. Yeah. I am focused on living this part of my life. I've grinded. I have been there. I have come through. I've done everything for everybody. I think about everybody all the time. And I'm like, I am done. I'm tired. And I'm like, I need to be spoiled or we're going to have to do some changes because that's where I'm at in my life.
That's good.
Yeah. I do know that.
Yeah.
That's good. And by spoiled, I mean like trips and like
rest.
Things and presents.
Yeah.
I want, gifts.
You want all the things.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That is good. I'm proud of you.
I have everything else.
I am proud of you.
Because usually I buy myself the bag. I buy myself the trip. I go on my own. We doing girls trips all the time. Mm-hmm. I do my own thing. I'm like, no, damn it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I want to be spoiled. That's it.
Yeah.
What's that like?
The next
I see it, I'm like, what's that like?
You're gonna manifest that.
Yes.
But the next thing we need to focus on is you being okay with someone like throwing you a birthday party or something.
No, we're not together.
Okay, we're not together. We're not there. We may never get there. It's fine.
I literally started this entire podcast, this entire hour with telling you that my dad died a week before my birthday in a heart and I watched him die.
Yeah.
Do you think I would ever have a birthday party?
Maybe.
For what reason though?
To feel celebrated and like,
but I'm
loved.
Always celebrated. Why do we have to do it like that? It's so like much.
Yeah.
It's so much.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like I've put myself out there so much. I put myself on the stage. I want to be seen. I want to be heard. Give me a light and I'm on stage. I'm like, you're going to look at me. So I always feel like I get validation from that. Like I'm very validated. Like I'm validated a lot.
You're also talking to the person who couldn't care less about my birthday. Like,
true.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why everybody wants me to have this like epic, like throw a party or do a thing. I'm like, for what? Like for what though?
Well, it was more for me. I don't think you need an epic party. It was more of just for you to receive. Because it was mostly coming from.
I receive a lot.
Yeah. I think you always worry about everyone else for their birthday. So I think I was thinking specifically.
But like even like doing something for your birthday or like that is, I've received. Yeah, I'm happy.
Well, I do know do you that. Won't do anything you don't want to do.
No.
So yeah.
No, I know what I want to do.
Yeah.
And to me, like if I threw you a party and you're so happy and like watching you like from a distance be so happy, I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, that's like so fulfilling for me.
That's
good. I don't even need a party. It's just so weird, so awkward. But it's like, yay, it's your birthday. And like,
yeah.
For what?
Okay.
And that's just me. It's not projecting. Yeah. It's like everybody has their thing.
Exactly.
It's just my stuff.
Okay. Well, last question.
Okay.
What have you learned from me?
Yeah.
And that's it.
What have I learned from you? How long have you been friends? 6 years?
So, yeah.
In this lifetime. Yeah, six years. What have I learned from you? I have learned mm-hmm. that it's actually okay
uh-huh.
to be exactly who I am. Like, it's actually like, okay. Because normally I don't really care what people think and, mm-hmm. and I say that, but like, you know, I don't know. You're very like, you make sense of how it all makes, I'm not making any sense because now mm-hmm. it's like, I'm not making sense. You make sense of all of the things that don't make sense about me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Perfectly.
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense to me because I know what you're talking about. There are things, I'll try to translate for you. There are things that you'll question sometimes about yourself or your personality or, you know, we do check-ins with each other all the time. Yeah. Like, did I misstep? Like, did I miss that or whatever?
Right.
And for a lot of it, I'm like, no, that makes sense because ... this, whatever. You're like, oh yeah, duh, okay. So like you feel okay or safe or maybe it's more obvious.
That's
or whatever
a word too. You're a very safe space for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's like learning. I've just been able to be really safe with you.
Yeah.
So therefore everything just comes out and we're just able to like mm-hmm. work through some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
Even though we're like, you know, 20,000 years apart.
Yeah. 20,000 and one.
And 1 year apart.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a lot in common, but we actually look like we have nothing in common. Mm-hmm. But we're very much the same person.
Very much the same.
There's that part.
Yeah.
Even though it's seemingly we seem very different. So that's that part. I found a likeness mm-hmm. in you, somebody who's like me, someone who thinks like me, someone mm-hmm. who's on the same path as someone who kind of moves through life like me. So it feels familiar and safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
and
is
I think
good.
Where you're strong, I'm weak. And I think where I'm strong, you're weak.
Fair.
Yeah. you hate that. I know. I was like, I'm just going to dig that in one last time now.
You're like the word weak and insecure.
I know you hate
and I'll
it.
Say all those words, you know. It's almost like I can say myself, but you can't say them.
Okay.
It's
well
okay. It's okay.
No, not a okay. Weakness.
And we do
bad,
people think we don't actually fight. We do have like we were like, I mean, every conversation we have, there's probably some snarky we go back and forth with each other a lot. We do.
Well, we're a lot.
We are a lot and we go there with each other. There's no place we don't go. We very much teeter on realness with each other.
Well, a lot of it is that it's a miscommunication or a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
It's not like you purposely do something or I purposely do something. It's like
text, and then we have to pick up the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, what? And I'm like, what I heard was, and you're like, from a text message?
I was like, that is not what I said.
Because I read it like, you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, and you're like, you. And I'm like, you.
I know, that's why sometimes I'll do a voice
note.
What's
the one phrase I can't say anymore? That one phrase I text and you were like, we're going to end our friendship over this. It was like one phrase.
What now?
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-mm, that doesn't do well.
And I was like, well, what now? And you read it as like, what now?
Yeah. What now? I'm like, okay.
We're done.
Yeah. I'm never speaking to you again. It's just the little triggers, you know? It's like, I don't know. I don't know where it comes from either. It's just, that's a trigger for me.
Yeah.
It's like a dismissive, like it's a disrespectful
thing.
Oh,
that's it. That's what it was. It was this
disrespect.
You don't like a dismissive tone.
Disrespect.
And I'm so dismissive sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's why my Dana, same. All my best friends are like, T, if you could just stop with the tone of dismissiveness of your, and I'm like, I don't mean to, but I don't know where that's who I am. You know, I'll come back down from it, but Lord.
Yeah. No, you're good. That is one thing. If I ask you to correct something or whatever, you do. Mm-hmm. I don't have to ask you again.
Yeah. You have to have a real conversation with me, but that's, I can.
Which is really good.
My best friend Dana, mm-hmm. we're all best friends, but my childhood best friend, Dana, I remember her, it was like, this is like 4 or 5 years ago. She was like, you are never, ever to speak to me like that ever again, mm-hmm. or we will not speak. And this is my friend for 40 something years. I'm like, got it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was, she's right. like, you speak to me like that again, we are done. Mm-hmm. Like your tone, your energy, your hierarchy, mm-hmm. your all that shit, stop it. And I was like, got it.
Yeah. I know. That's it. Sometimes we need to be told. So
you need real friends like that.
Yep. Okay. Do you have any questions for me?
No.
Yay. Well, thank you for being here.
Oh, I do want to say last thing.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, what was I going to say? I don't know. I don't know. Okay. I don't know what I was going to say. Oh, maybe it was about like cycles of life. Like maybe mm-hmm. you're different. Like, because I've worn many hats. I've been even being married or with my husband for like 22 years. Like I feel like he's married 10 people in the span of.
For sure.
Like I'm always a different person. And so I'm like, I don't know who used to hear this, but like it might not even be a thing, but it's always okay to like change course, correct, take a hard left, do something different. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm here. I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here. It's those type of things that keep me moving forward, mm-hmm. right? That's all. It's like when you talk about like cycles of life and like how I've had so many different like hats and cycles of life, because I've done so many different things. Like it's not like I've had one lane of something. It's been very different. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And sometimes when you are in the course of it, it says you're like, what am I doing? This feels stupid. You just got to keep going. Like mm-hmm. that also is like very important.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does that make sense? But that's all.
Yeah. I think people can get stuck in their heads and overthink things. And you're very good at just going with your gut and going for it.
Like you, this is your magazine and like your cocktail supplements. Like, I mean, we've had discussions and you probably don't want me to say all this on, you know, here. But my point is like, even down to like your whole trajectory getting to this point, it's like, look at what you've done. But like I was there for you when you were like, what am I doing? What mm-hmm. do I want this to look like? I don't know what's happening. I feel it. But like your course to get here was like, it felt heavy.
Felt like giving birth.
It felt heavy. Yeah. Like you cried a right. lot. We didn't speak for 2 months at one point. Like you were mm-hmm. in, like no one sees the grind, like the overnight success of you like having this, all of this is like, it's all of this. You have to really go back there. Mm-hmm. People are afraid to go back there because they have to like feel things that they don't want to feel. But you have mm-hmm. to. You have to.
That's a really good piece of it. Because I think you're right. People can romanticize it.
I'm saying.
Look at
the touchdown. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. They look at you and they're like, oh, like
exactly.
Who's Tamika Lee? She's just, you know.
She's living her best life. She's socialized. Like, she has lunches. She's at every party. She looks so great. Her outfits, her thing, her hair. I'm like.
Everything's intentional. Everything's
grind. Girl, I'm tired.
Yeah.
And my knees hurt from dancing.
Yeah.
Right. And I got a ton of Botox and I have extensions in my hair. And I'm like trying to just make it work. And I'm crying every day. My child's leaving me. I'm like, it's all those things. It's like no one sees that. So I feel like people need to know. Mm-hmm. And no one, you only see social, we only see the good. We only see the outcome. You only see all these pictures of you on these covers of things. And like no one knows the grind and the grit of what you've actually had to like go through here. Mm-hmm. What you went through with your mother, like the death of your mom and like the last couple of years, like all that stuff that you've had with your family. So it's like no one sees that this actually happened and why this came to birth. So it's like it's such a process and you have to like go through it.
Yeah.
So like anything that is worth anything to be successful has to come from failure and trauma.
Yeah.
Not has to, but like it'll make it great.
Yeah. It does. Trauma makes you great. from Tamika Lee. No, it is. It connects you to whatever your purpose is. And I think it pulls you through those nights that you're crying on the floor of your shower, me.
Yeah, about, you've been there.
Yeah, what am I doing with my life? Where is it going?
Your hair was falling out. You know what I'm saying? Like, you forgot about
all this.
For years.
Yeah. I know. I remember picking you up from the airport in Austin.
Yes.
And I had just showered and I was avoiding showering at the time because...
Yeah.
Like showering my hair.
Yeah. You didn't stink. It's fine.
No, I took body showers every day, but you know, it was just my hair. I didn't want to wash it because it would fall out so much in the shower. And when I picked you up and I was like, I'd been crying and you know, it was just a horrible
experience. Did I say, let's get a Negroni? Did I say that?
No, first of all,
because that's healing.
You said, okay, you said, number one, I'm going to shave my head. I was like, I'm sorry, back up. You're like, okay, well, I'm just going to shave my head. I was like, what? What are you talking about?
Like, it's hair.
You also, were like, I have these, you called it this. Were like, I have these black girl drops.
Oh, I did.
You did.
And they still work.
I used the whole bottle. Yes. And it worked. Yes. It did work. But it was like for hair growth and, you know, whatever. And
you poured the whole bottle on your head though. Crazy.
Poured the whole bottle.
It's supposed to be drop, drop, drip.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I'm intense. So poured the whole bottle. I was like, yeah, this is working. As I'm, you know, my face is on fire. But anyway, yeah, I mean, you are a ride or die friend. Yeah. You are. You're like, I'm shaving my head. You were dead serious. I was like,
I mean,
you're not.
If you lose your hair and you're crying and you can't get up and you're about to like die, well, like, it's physically crippling
it
for
was
you.
For
I'm
years,
like, I will shave my head. I'll get away.
Yeah.
Because
we're
going to be fine.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, we're going to be fine.
I know. Well, and then I felt so silly too, because I'm like, who cares? It's just a vanity thing. Yeah. After a while, I was like, it's fine. It'll probably grow back. And if it doesn't, it wasn't meant to be. I just had to get to that point. And honestly, when I mentally let go of it and was just like, it's fine. It's mm-hmm. going to be, it's going through its cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to have its moment. And the moment lasted for years. It was pretty bad at some point, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. it did eventually. I mean, obviously it was during the time that my mom was sick and mm-hmm. I was not in the relationship that I should have been. And, you know, it's a whole nother story.
I'll be quiet. Yeah. Be real quiet.
Exactly. So, yeah.
It. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's another thing too. And we're done.
Yeah.
Then we're Jonah. Done. We're done.
Okay.
But I'm saying, I do need to say this.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this very clear. When your friend is in a relationship and they ask for advice, your advice is to stay the course. You can't mm-hmm. deter this person from this person.
Mm-hmm.
You can't give them back. Mm-hmm. You just need to be there if you know it's going to fail. You just be there when it fails and you don't say shit about it. You don't say, I knew, I mm-hmm. saw, or whatever. The end. Because mm-hmm. when somebody's in love or when somebody's in it, they don't see anything. All they're going to do is turn on you. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
So you got to shut up
when
your friend is going through a bad relationship.
Yeah.
That's it. And I mean, mm-hmm. that is being a good friend.
Yeah.
Because that's it. Let them go. It's going to sort itself out.
Remember, it was a few months ago though. I was like, why didn't you tell me? And you're like, I did.
I did.
You did, but you didn't.
I didn't.
Yeah. You did, but you didn't.
I
you
had were just questions. Supportive.
You had questions?
No, I had a lot of questions. You remember I was like, I had questions. I would ask you a lot of questions that you didn't have the answer to. And I was like, maybe this will be the aha moment, but it never landed.
No, because I'm in it.
Because you're in it.
The goldfish being in the bowl. In it, you don't know you're in the bowl when you're the goldfish.
You can't say anything. You can't say anything.
Yeah. So you're just like.
It's the same thing with like your kids. It's the same advice. Like for your, you know, like the parenting advice when you're like, when your kids have a boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah.
And you say like, I don't like that person. They just mm-hmm. like run to them.
Yep.
So you can't say anything. You just got to sit there.
Well, honestly, if you had said, yeah, I don't like him, you know, blah, blah, blah. I would have still gone through it mm-hmm. because it's my experience.
Right,
I was
entitled
to the experience, you know, and you knew that. But part of me, obviously, if it's not a good relationship, that's why I wanted you to say, hey, it's not a good relationship mm-hmm. for you or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a bad relationship. Let me be clear. It was just not suitable for me mm-hmm. and what I want for my life, mm-hmm. you know? So it was just at the time it was perfect. For mm-hmm. what I needed mm-hmm. in that it was very low maintenance, you know, all that at the time. I don't want that now, mm-hmm. you know? So, but yeah, from the outsider's perspective, I wanted you to say, hey, it's not working, whatever. So I had an excuse to get out of it.
Right.
But I say that, but I wouldn't have done anything differently. I would have stayed in it to learn the lesson. And the fact that you didn't say anything, it put it back in my court. It put it all on me.
Right.
So that I was so uncomfortable sitting with it. I had to make the decision. It wasn't like, oh, well, Tamika says blah, 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 blah. So I can just, you know, blame her or do that, whatever. Yeah. You put it in my lap and I was like, oh, I hated you in the moment for that. I didn't. But I was like, I hated having to sit in it.
Yeah.
But you did the right thing.
And when you came to that realization, I was like, what?
Yeah. You acted brand new.
I was like, you're like, I realized he's just a liar. I'm like, the bells are singing, the song's going off.
Yeah.
Oh my God, no.
Yeah.
You're okay. Like, oh no. Oh no.
You and, you know, my other friends are like cheersing in the background. But
no. Did I tell you the time that my friends like sent me, like they gave me like, they were like, yeah, here's like the guy you're dating.
Is, oh
like,
yeah.
Like
they outlined.
Arrested. this is the other charge. This is the other charge. And I was like,
but he loves so me.
Handsome. I just love it. Idiot. Couldn't tell me anything.
Yeah.
Threw me papers. Google print.
Yep.
Gave me papers stapled. And I was like, ah.
Yep.
But I love, you know, it's, mm-hmm. it's you can't change a girl's mind when mm-mm. she's in love.
I know.
So don't try. Anyway, that's my advice with that friend.
Yeah. No, it's good advice. It is. I mean, obviously there are outliers like anything where if.
Oh, totally. There's like, if there's like totally bad.
An abusive situation. I don't know. Whatever. Like, yeah. What you were going to
know. Mugshots?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. You might want to intervene. Okay. Just public service announcement. Yeah. But yes, for the most part, if it's just, yeah. It's okay. A learning experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all.
Just stay out of it. That's true. That's good. Yep. Yep. Nothing is as it appears, no. I think. But anyway, thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate you.
Where are we going to eat?
I have an answer for you.
That's my only question.
I have an answer for you.
Oh.
We're
going to eat.
I was thinking Del Porto.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
All right. That was our first date.
That was, I know. That's why.
Is that why?
Yep.
Full circle moment.
Shut down the restaurant again. Aww. Anyway, thank you all for listening. Thank you for being here, Tamika Lee. I love you.
Love you.
Bestie.
Wifey.
And all the lifetimes.
Oh my God.
Yep.
What's next?
We're in it. Yeah. Well, what's next for you? That's what I want to know.
Mm.
Are you going to say?
Yeah, I'm starting a podcast.
Yay! I'm so glad you're saying
I'm
it.
I'm like kicking and screaming. I don't want to do this.
I can't believe you just said it.
I did.
I'm so excited.
Oh, okay.
A Todd passed, everyone.
I did a Todd pass.
Yeah.
Go back to the rewind and you'll see why I said it.
The dyslexia.
Yeah. I'm going to start a podcast. And mm-hmm. I know a lot of great people in the city. I know a lot of great people in the world. And I need to like get their stories out. And I'm going to do that. I need to put myself back out there.
So, I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, I'm probably going to do a lot of twists and turns because, you know, why not? And that's what I do because so I have hard. A touchdown moment in mind. But mm-hmm. I'm going to try to get my first down. My first down is going to be my podcast.
Yay.
Starting soon.
Well, mm-hmm. congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm so excited for you. A long time coming, but I'm excited because it is, I think it is going to be the starting point, which is like how my magazine started. I'm like, it's a starting point.
Yeah.
It's frustrating when you're going through the creative process.
It's definitely a starting point.
It's not where you want it to be yet. And you can't get to where you want it to be until you go through the process. And the process can be excruciating at times. And so I'm there for you.
Well, you know
process.
Me. I need a stage to perform on. And if I don't have a stage, meaning like if I don't have all the things, mm-hmm. then I like people need like I have a failure to launch mindset, even though I do everything I've always said times 10 and go bulldozing forward.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not set for me, like in a way, I don't know how I'm making sense.
Yeah. If the stage isn't set for you, you're mm-hmm. going to have to
build it. And build I don't know how to build it.
Yeah. But you do, and you are.
Yeah.
You'll get there.
We'll start there.
Yes.
We'll see what happens. But that's where we're starting. Yeah.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
Yay. Thank you. 2026 is going to be the year.
Okay.
I love it.
When I hear 26, I just think of, it's literally she's graduating. Like from the moment she was like, it was just been 26. Yeah. That's all I hear. So I hear 26 and I want to like literally die.
Okay. Well, let's end it. On that note.
I'm just like, she's leaving. I'm the empty nester. Okay, it's okay. Let's go get cocktails. We're good.
Yeah. No, I'm proud of you. I think it's going to be amazing. Whatever you do. And Rainey, your daughter, is going to live her best life. And she's still with you, you know?
Like, no, I know.
Still
here. I know.
It's going to be great.
It's so fun.
It's actually, I'm excited for you. That next chapter, I think, is going to be so exciting. And I think you're not realizing that yet. And once you're in it, I think you're going to be like, this is great. Like, it's just right now sucks. So,
yeah.
It's going to be good.
We'll see.
Okay.
Well, stay tuned.
Love you. I'm here. I'm here. Ride or die. Let's go. Thank you for being vulnerable. And for coming on here.
We have so much more to talk about at dinner, though. Okay. All right. The real stuff. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know.
Would you like to be a fly on that wall?
Yeah, for real. Right. Okay.
Also, subscribe. All the serial killers out there, subscribe.
Yes, and the non-serial killers.
I'm sorry. All you normal people, subscribe.
Yeah, subscribe to the magazine and get a box of the manicure multivitamin
cocktail. They're great for hangovers, which I apparently drink a lot. And yeah.
Yeah, it's helped you.
Yes, it's helped me and my family. Yes, yeah. Everyone has. Can I have that box too?
Yeah, you can have the box.
Okay, thank you.
And also, this is an announcement too.
Oh!
Tamika's going to be on the cover for January.
Stop it. Yeah. I already knew, but already stop it. Yeah. Okay. Are you going to be with me or just me?
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thanks for listening. Subscribe.